needs this time to stop and reflect and to realize that they're lost. I pray that you'll just use this, God. I pray that they'll have an opportunity, God, for you to speak to their heart, and God, that we'll always know where to turn and where our hope is in Jesus Christ. God, touch as we get into the scripture this morning. Help us that we'll obey you. And God, I pray that you'll just lift us up. God, I pray that you'll strengthen us. Keep your hand of safety on us. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. If you're at home with us this morning and you have your Bibles, if you will, turn with me to Isaiah chapter number 43. We'll be taking a few verses of scripture from Isaiah 43, sharing a few verses of scripture with you. I was telling some that are here with me this morning that getting up and preaching without the choir and without seeing the other faces here and seeing my church family is kind of like trying to run a race without stretching. So I do ask you to be much in prayer for us this morning. I don't have my phone laid out to where I can see it, so I have no idea how many viewers that we have as of right now. Randall's giving me the thumbs up that we have several, so thank you for being with us, and let's take just a few minutes in God's Word in Isaiah chapter number 43. I guess I do want to say this before I start. See, my brain's all mixed up where I'm trying to do this Facebook Live, but y'all pray for me. But I do want to explain the cancellation this morning. As far as yesterday afternoon, we were on go for this morning. We were planning to have church services as usual. Very sorry that we felt the need to cancel, but we're blessed here at Fellowship. We usually have more than 100 people in attendance, and after the mandate given by the governor that we couldn't gather with more than 100 people, we felt the necessity to cancel service. We will be more creative by next Sunday if the mandate is still on next Sunday. We'll be more creative and maybe have a better solution than what we had today, but it's definitely not the same here without you. It's probably the hardest cancellation that I've ever had. You know, when it snows, you just err on the side of caution and go ahead and cancel the service and keep everyone safe. This one is definitely much different than that because there's nowhere that I had rather be when we're going through something like what we're going through right now. There's nowhere that I'd rather be than in the house of God, with like-minded people, with my church family, to where we can worship God, to where we can pray and seek God, and to where we can be together and draw strength one from another. So it definitely was the hardest decision, and I'll go ahead and let you know that the remainder of the leadership here at Fellowship, I was thankful that they were not sitting at home just waiting to cancel service. It was a long text debate and whether we should have service today or not, and I'm thankful. I was a little worried about Lynn Weddle just waiting to cancel service. So, but he was also wanting to have service today. But we're sorry that we had to come to you this way, but again, thankful that we can. One last point is I do not think that this mandate was an attack on our religious freedom. I think this was something that they're doing in concern for the coronavirus and what's going on in that situation. I will say this, and I hope that I never have to really stand on this, but if I had felt that this was an attack on our religious freedom, compliance wouldn't have been as easy. Compliance wouldn't have come. We probably would have just come right on into church this morning, and we would have prayed and asked God to lead in that direction. But if you will be much in prayer as we get into the message this morning. Isaiah chapter number 43, let's begin reading with verse number 1. The Bible says, "But now thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." Verse number 2, the Bible says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee." I'm going to stop reading with verse number 3 here just for a few minutes. I want to share a few ideas with you that I see here in these verses. I do want you to know that I understand that this was written to Israel, and I do believe that it has some application for you and I also. As we look at verse number 1, the Bible says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not." First of all, I want us to remember at this time, especially in our life, and I think that we should remember this all the time, but it seems like maybe it's more important right now today. I want you to remember who created you. The Bible says here, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob." I want you to remember this morning as we're going through the situation that we're going through, as we're going through trying to figure out how much of this may be overreaction, how much of this may be exactly what we need to be doing, maybe the steps that we need to be taking. I want you to remember that there is one that created you that knows exactly what's going on. I want you to remember that in the beginning, when the first man was made, that God took dust from the ground and that he formed the first man. That this first man was made from the dust of the earth, and that after once God had formed that man, the Bible tells us that he breathed the breath of life into him. And then a little later, he took a rib from that man because he seen it was not good for the man to be alone. He took a rib from that man and he made woman. He is also able, well able, to take care of your health and my health this morning. Don't you think for just a minute that the God that made us, that took dust from the earth and made man, that took a rib from that man and made woman, don't even hesitate to think that he does not know what's going on in your life, that he does not know what's going on in your health situation, that he can't take our bodies and miraculously heal them, but he can also protect them. He can be with us even through what we're going through right now. The God that we serve, you know, there's still a lot of things about our body that doctors and science is trying to figure out, but I want you to know that the God that we serve, he made these bodies and he is well able to take care of these bodies. "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not." There is no reason to fear in the middle of this crisis. I know that when things come along that we're uncertain about, when things come along that we've never been part of before, that we have no real experience with, that we can't help but have just a little bit of concern, that we have a little bit of a time that we're not sure what's going to happen. But I want you to know this morning that it's not a time for us as Christian people to fear of what's going on. God who created us, God who formed us, God who made us is in control of this whole situation. As we continue reading, we'll see some more reasons that we should fear not. Again, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have formed thee." I want you to see three more reasons here that he says that we should not be afraid. First of all, he says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee." If you go and you look up the definition of redeem, you'll see that the definition means to gain or regain possession of something in exchange for a payment. I'm glad this morning that I know that I've been redeemed. Yes, when I became at a place that I was at the age of accountability and I knew the difference between right and wrong, and I was not overshadowed by God's care because I was under the age of accountability, I know at that point in time that I was not in a place that I was right with God. But I want you to know that at the age of 7, when Jesus spoke to my heart and I confessed him as my Savior and I asked him to forgive me of my sins, that at that very moment I became redeemed. This morning as I stand here, there has been a great price paid for me. The Bible tells me that he paid a price with his life, that he laid down his life for mine, that he paid a sin debt that he did not owe, that I owed, and he paid that sin debt for me, that I would not have to stand guilty of my sins, that I would not stand before God in lack of anything, but this morning that I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee." I want you to know that as we're sitting here this morning and as we're watching this on Facebook and we're taking just a few minutes to look at God's Word, if you're here and you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, if you're there on Facebook and you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, there is no reason to fear because you have been redeemed. You are a winner either way. Let's continue reading. He says, "I have called thee by thy name." Not only has God redeemed me, but that wasn't, he didn't redeem me just to drop me off. He didn't just redeem me to leave me where he called me from. I want you to know that he says, "I have called thee by thy name." That Jesus Christ knows you personally. He knows everything about you. He knows where you live. He knows where you work. He knows the people that you're going to come in contact with. That I'm glad this morning that he says he even knows the number of the hairs on our head. He knows everything about us. He knows me personally. personally. And this morning, I want you to know that we're hearing a lot of statistics. We're hearing a lot of percentages that we're hearing, well, X amount of people have contracted this and X amount of people have recovered. That there is one out of so many that's going to do this and one out of so many that's going to do that. Well, I want you to know, as they're guessing about these statistics, as they're looking at the percentages, as they're looking at all of these different things, they're looking at just a social security number. I want you to know this morning that I was called personally by God. That I was called personally. He knows my name. That I am known by an almighty God. I'm known by the King of Kings. I am known by the Lord of Lords. I am so much known that He wrote my name in His book. The day that I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, that He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He knows me personally. I'm not a statistic. I'm not a percentage. I'm not a social security number. But I have a God that knows me. He knows how to speak to my heart when no one else knows how to comfort me. He knows how to be with me when nobody else can be there with me. He knows what I'm going through when I've told no one else that I have a God that is my Redeemer and that knows me by my name. He says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name." I want you to look at number 3 in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Thou art mine." Not only does He know you, not only has He redeemed you, but you belong to Him this morning. You are His child. There is no reason to fear because we know that who we belong to this morning. I have 3 children I love dearly, and if there is anything that I can do to protect them, if there is anything that I can do when they're going through a crisis, when there's anything that I can do when they're going through questions in their life, I'm going to be there for them as their father. Well, I want you to know that we have a heavenly Father that was not taken by surprise when all of this happened. We have a heavenly Father that knew that all of this was going to take place before it ever began to take place in our lives. We have a heavenly Father that says, "You are my child and I've got you. I'm with you. I'm going to be there with you." He will do His best to protect us, and His best is beyond anything that you can ever imagine. He will do His best to be there with us, and His best is more than anything else that anyone else can promise you. I'm glad to know this morning that I have been redeemed. I'm glad to know that He knows my name, and I'm glad to know that I belong to Him. Let me go ahead and say, if I was living in today's time and I didn't know Jesus Christ, that I had never responded to Him calling my name, that I had never been redeemed, that I didn't belong to Jesus Christ, you should be scared. You should be fearful. The Bible tells us here in Isaiah chapter number 43 and verse number 1, He's given us 3 reasons to fear not. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you should be fearful. But I'm not going to say it should be all about coronavirus. It shouldn't be about everything that's going on around us. You should be fearful that you would step out into eternity not knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible tells me that it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And when I stand in judgment, the only thing that's going to matter is whether or not my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When you stand in judgment, the only thing that's going to matter is whether or not you know that you have been redeemed, that you know that He's called you by your name, whether or not that you belong to Him. I tell you what, all the hand sanitizer, all the toilet paper, all the everything that you can stack up here on this world is not going to mean a thing when we stand before a holy and a righteous God. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you should be fearful. But if you know Him and you belong to Him, there is no reason to be fearful. He's given us 3 wonderful reasons here in Isaiah 43 and 1. "For I've called thee by thy name, thou art mine, for I have redeemed thee." We also know that He's our Maker. Isaiah chapter number 43, verse number 2. Let's continue reading. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." I want you to notice a couple of things here in Isaiah 43 and 2. First of all, I want you to notice that as He is speaking to Israel here, that He didn't say, "Hey, you will never have to pass through the waters." He didn't say there would never be an obstacle in front of you. He didn't say that everything was always going to be easy. He didn't say that everything was just going to be a patch of roses as you go through. But what He did say, I want you to notice, He says, "When thou passes through those waters. When those waters are in front of you, when that obstacle is there, I want you to know that he said, I will be with thee. I want you to know, if you're here and you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, if you're watching on Facebook and you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, there's going to be obstacles that come your way. There's going to be things in front of you that you're going to have to cross, that you're going to have to go through. There's going to be things that you look at and you wonder, is this going to be dangerous? Is this going to be harmful? And I want you to notice that Jesus didn't tell us that those things wouldn't be in our lives. But what he did say is, I will be with thee. I couldn't imagine going through some of the things that I've been through in my life without the help of God, without Jesus Christ being there with me. But I want you to know this morning that every single time that I've been through something, every single time there's been a river in front of me that I had to cross, every single time there's been an obstacle in my way, that he has been there with me. He's brought me through. Sometimes there's some scars that are left because of the things that I've went through. Sometimes there's some things in my life that I still have to deal with because of the things that I've been through. But I can tell you with full assurance that when I went through those waters, when I went through those obstacles, that Jesus was with me. Because more than the scars, more than the things that I might still be dealing with, I can look back and I can tell you of how that Jesus carried me. I can tell you how Jesus helped me through that obstacle, of how he helped me through that trial that was in front of me. He didn't say that we would never pass through the waters, but what he did say is, I will be with thee. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. He didn't say that the rivers wouldn't be deep or rough. He didn't say that the waters wouldn't be swift. He didn't say that you wouldn't have times that you would wonder what's going on. But I want you to notice what he did say. He said, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. You will not be overcome through the middle of the river that you're going through. You will not be overcome through the middle of the trial or the trouble, or in this case, of this thing that's going on around us, and we don't even know what to expect. But I can tell you this morning that you will not be overcome. Greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. And you say, well, preacher, how do you know that I'm not going to get sick? How do you know that this virus is not going to spread? I don't know that at all. I have no way of knowing that. I have no way of knowing the seriousness of this situation. But what I do know is, no matter what, if I get sick, that God's going to be with me. If I go and my family gets sick, that God, I don't want to see anybody sick. I don't want to see anybody go through this thing. I want everything just to go away, for God to work in a miraculous way and take care of this situation. But what I can assure you of, on the authority of God's word, I don't know how serious all this is, but I know how serious God's word is. God's word will always stand. God's word will never fail. And he said, it will not overflow you. It will not overcome you. If we know Jesus Christ is our personal Savior, we just need to lift up our head. Look for the opportunities that God's going to put in front of us. Let's continue reading. When thou walkest through the fire, listen, going through a river and going through waters is one thing, but now when you start talking about fire, you got something a little more serious. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame be kindled upon thee. He didn't say that the fire wouldn't come in our lives. He didn't say that there wouldn't be some trials that seemed so terrible. But what he did say is, I will protect you from the harm of the fire. He's going to protect us and keep his hand on us. Church, if we really knew this morning what we have, you know, the Bible tells us, and y'all know I like to use this scripture a whole lot. If we really knew what God has waiting on us, he said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. Can you imagine what the place is that God's gone to prepare for us? If we really knew the place that God's gone to prepare for us. See, we're all really emotionally attached here on this earth. And I understand completely. I'm emotionally attached. I want to see my children grow up. I want to see my church family grow up. I want to see all of these things happen here on this earth. But I want to tell you something, that we have become so attached here that we have forgotten, or we take for granted, what God's got for us over there. There's no possible way that anything that happens to us here on this earth can be that bad when it would only send us into the presence of an almighty God. Let's continue reading. Psalms chapter number 43, verse number 3. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. I want you to notice as he's given us these things, or given Israel these things in chapter number, or verse number 1 and verse number 2, he says, I've created you. Fear not, for I've redeemed thee, called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee, and through rivers they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, they shall not be burned, neither shall the flame be kindled upon thee. I want you to look, as I read verse number 3, I want you to see what maybe that it seemed like I seen when I read verse number 3. For I am the Lord thy God. If you take verses number 1 and verse number 2 and you wrote it down on a piece of paper, when I read the first part of verse number 3, I read it almost as a signature of, hey, this is who's telling you what's going on in verse number 1 and verse number 2. This is his signature at the bottom of the page. He says, fear not, I've redeemed thee, called thee, thou art mine. You don't have to be afraid, because when you pass through the rivers, I'm with thee. They will not overflow thee. The fire will not harm thee. And then he signs it right here, for I am the Lord thy God. He puts his signature on that this morning. I want you to know, as we're looking at that this morning, I want you to know that this signature that we're reading here on the bottom of this page means more than any signature that could ever been placed here. There's some signatures that are pretty powerful in the day that we're living in, but I want you to know that this signature is more powerful than any document that any judge might sign. It's more powerful than any bill that a House or a Senate could pass. It's more powerful than any executive order signed by any politician, any governor, any president. I want you to know that this signature that is signed here on the bottom of this letter, in the top of verse number 3, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. That signature is one that you can bank on. It is one that you can count on. This signature is one that has never failed, has never lied, it's never been caught off guard, and he has never been wrong. There's some things going into effect right now that people are guessing about. They're saying, well, maybe this is the best approach to take. Maybe this is the best solution. I want you to know right now that when God gave us these promises in Psalms chapter number 43, when they were written here again to Israel with application to us, I want you to know that when he signed it here in verse number 3 and said, for I'm the Lord thy God, I'm the one that's telling you this, that you can count on it, that it's not going to be wrong, it's not going to be a guess, it's not going to be the best, it's going to be the only thing, because you can count on the Word of God this morning. It means more than any signature that could have been placed here. Hey, there's some things that I have to sign at work. They can't go through until I put my signature on them. But I want you to know, my signature is not really worth a hill of beans. If I lose my job tomorrow, somebody else's signature will replace mine just like that. But when it comes to the signature that was placed here in Psalms 43, verse 3, for I am the Lord thy God, there is no signature more powerful than that. If I was reading you these promises this morning, if I was reading you that when you go through the river that he'll be with us, if I was reading you that the fire would not have consequences for you, if I was reading you those things and I said, and Billy Graham said that, great respect for Billy Graham, but if I said that and said that Billy Graham has signed this, I want you to know that you might not could count on it, that you might not be able to take it, but I want you to know that when it is signed off by the Lord thy God, you can count on it. I want to skip down to verse number 7. I'm almost done. Isaiah 43, verse number 7. I want you to see why I believe that we can take application from this. Everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. We have been created for the glory of God. You know, we began talking this morning about fear not, and the three reasons in verse number 1 that we shouldn't be afraid, the things in verse number 2 that he promised us as we were going through these different battles and these different things that we may have to cross. And then in verse number 7, he says, for I have created you for my glory. Christians, if we walk around in fear, if we live in fear, if we are so unsure of the circumstances that are going on around us, there's no possible way that we can be walking in a way to be used for his glory. If we live in fear, we show the world that we are unsure of the declarations that's been made to us, that we're unsure of a God that says, I'll go with you, that we're unsure of a God that says, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, called thee by thy name, thou art mine. If we live in fear, we show that we are not sure, that we're not 100% sure of the God that we talk about being so good to us, and our God that is big enough to handle any circumstance that we may go through. If we walk around in fear, hey, I'm not saying that it's not okay to have concern. I'm not saying that it's not okay to wash your hands a few extra times, to hit the sanitizer a time or two as you walk by it. But what I am saying this morning is I'm not dependent on my soap. I'm not dependent on hand sanitizer. I'm dependent on God to take care of me and my family through this. And while I'm going through this, I want to live my life in a way that gives him glory. I want to live my life in a way that shows that I am dependent and trusting completely on God, that I know that his promises and his words are true, that I know that if I walk through the river that he's with me, that if I cross through the river that he will be there with me. I want you to know as we go through this, we cannot live in fear. We cannot live in a place that lets others know or shows others that we have one thing coming out of our mouth and another thing in our heart. I told someone just this week at work, they asked me what I thought about the coronavirus and the effects of it. And I said, well, it's not good. I said, I think it's going to have a great economic impact in our lives. I think it's sad that we even have to question the whole thing around it, but that we do. But they asked me what I thought about the coronavirus, and I told them this. I said, I prepared for death a long time ago. Now I'm just trying to figure out how to live. See, when I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart, my preparation for death was made right then. I know that I know that I know that my name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is no doubt in my mind, not because of my works, not because of my righteousness, but because of the finished work of Christ on Calvary, that when I stand before God, that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know that. I don't doubt it. I don't have any question whatsoever with that. Dying is not my issue. I just want to figure out how to live to give him glory. If we live in fear, we show the world that we're unsure of the declarations that has been made. If we live in fear, we're showing that if we can trust him with the temporary, how in the world will you trust him with the eternal? See that everything that we have here is so temporal. If we're living in fear, then we're showing the world, well, I can't even trust God with the temporary. I can't trust him with my life. I can't trust him with my health. I can't trust him with my bills. I can't trust him with this or that or whatever. If you can't trust God with the temporary things in our lives, if we can't trust God with the things that the Bible tells us that one day will all be burned up with a fervent heat, if we can't trust him with the temporary, why in the world should you and should they trust him with their eternity? But I can tell you this morning, not only can he handle my temporary, he has handled my eternity. If we live in fear, it's going to be impossible for us to live our lives with the purpose that God has for us. So many times we're looking for a purpose. We're looking for what would God have me to do? Well, I want you to know what God would have you to do. God would have you to live your life in a way that gives him glory and points others to the cross. I know we're living in a little bit of an uncertain time. We've never been here before. We were discussing last night about the church situation and whether we could have service today or not. And one of the texts that was sent out was, this is a decision that we have no historical reference to rely on. We have no experience with this kind of decision whatsoever. And we done the very best that we knew to do. We done the best decision that we could think of. But I want you to know that historically, every single time God has come through for me, historically, I know that I can count on God. When we have to make these decisions in our life, we have to make decisions that reflect that we're trusting in God, that we know without a doubt that he's got us, that he's going to be with us, and that we can count on him. There is going to be opportunities, church, in the next few days and the weeks to come that we have to point others to the cross. You want to know what the panic is all about? The panic is about people who are unsure of their eternity. The panic is about the people who don't have peace from God. The panic is about the people who don't know that God's got this. So in the next few days, when you come across someone and you can see that look of concern in their eye. You can see a little panic on their face. Please take a minute. Be used for the glory of God. Share the gospel with them. Let them know where peace, contentment can be found. Thank y'all for joining me this morning. So glad that you're here. So glad that you've joined us on Facebook. I hope that God's word has brought you some comfort. I hope that God's word has brought you some ambition that we may live our lives in a way that gives God glory because he is truly worthy. If you happen to be watching us this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you don't have to be at an altar at a church. You don't have to be with a preacher. There's no criteria that you have to meet other than knowing that you need forgiveness of your sins, that Jesus Christ died for you, that he shed his blood for you, that he was buried in a tomb, and on the third day he rose, and one day he's coming again. If you believe that with your heart, if you know that you're a sinner and that you need salvation this morning, I beg you to find somewhere and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for this day, and we thank you for this time that you've given us to be together. God, we thank you for the verses in your word that you gave us this morning. God, help us not to fear. I know even in this uncertain time that sometimes if we begin to look at too much of the media, if we begin to listen too much to the naysayers around us, God, that there's questions that come in our minds. And God, help us that when we get to those places that we rely completely back on your word, the promises that are in your word. And God, that most of all, we realize who's got this thing under control, and that is our Savior. God, I do pray that if there's one that's lost that may be watching this morning, I pray that you'll speak to their heart. I pray that wherever they're at, that they'll reach out, that they'll fall down on their knees, and they'll ask forgiveness of their sins before it's everlasting too late. Thank you for being a God that knows me, that I can count on, that called my name, and that I belong to. In Jesus' name, amen.